This is the weekly message from Northwest Community Church in Tampa, Florida. Pastor Scott Collins brings you the message.
As we enter into Daniel chapter 3, I just want you to know that I am greatly encouraged to preach this message today. So much that I couldn't even sleep last night. It would just wound me up. And I was just so excited about God's grace and His mercy and the way that, God works in our lives. God is so good. Did you hear me? God is so good. And when you read this story and you see His hand, His power, His might, His love, man, it moves you. It really does. It moves you. Last week we looked at Daniel giving the interpretation to the king. The king had this dream over and over. Daniel interpreted the dream because Daniel was faithful. He was blessed. And when he was blessed, he asked for his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to also be exalted and lifted up. So they were made rulers in a province of Babylon. And we pick it up here in chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. It says, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and its breadth 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. The king Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates and all the officials of the province to come to the dedication of the image that the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Apparently, the king took the phrase, follow your dreams, to a whole new level. He decided that he needed to build this monument, this large statue of himself in the province, even though he knew that he was going to lose his kingdom. Because Daniel had interpreted the dream for him. But while he was there, he was exalting himself, lifting himself up. So he created this large statue. Verse 3 says, then the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the province gathered for the dedication of the image that the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And the herald proclaimed aloud, you are commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the bagpipe, and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Not only did he create and exalt himself through this large statue, but now he's desiring that everyone fall to the ground and worship the statue that he created in his own image. That he be God to all these people. Even though recently he had just told Daniel, there is no God like your God. There's no God like the Most High. But how quickly we forget. Even us, God does something great in our life. And then 2 weeks later, we're like, man, I don't know if God loves me. Where's God at? How come God's not getting me out of this? Why do I got to go through this? We forget how good God is, how big God is. Not only did he command that they would worship, but he said, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, as soon as all the people heard, therefore is there because of what was just said. This is what you have to do, or this is the consequence. Therefore, as soon as all the people heard the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the bagpipe, and every kind of music, all the peoples, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. But listen, there were some that did not bow. There were some that would not worship. There were some, specifically Hebrew boys, that said, no way. Not going to happen. And they would not bow. And this created opportunity. Because you remember, when they decided to do the diet, everybody had to do the diet. Because they were in better shape. Things changed. There was envy. There was rivalry. There was people looking at these Jews as like, man, who do you think you are? So now that creates opportunity. For the naysayers. For those who hate. Those who live with jealousy to come after the Jews. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not, it's everybody, whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. This is time to get even. The king set a decree, and when the king gave a decree, it was done. Let it be written, let it be done. And now he was bound by his own words. He had said there was none like Daniel. He elevated Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to positions of leadership. But now he was in a tough place because he had made a commitment. He had given his word. He had stuck his hand out, and now he had to own up. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed. Who appointed them? You did. This is on you. These Jews should have never been elevated. They should have never been lifted up. They shouldn't have been exalted. But there are certain Jews that you, and they're putting it back on the king, that you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. It was like they were saying, look, this is how they repay you. These Jews that you appointed, that you lifted up, look at what they're doing now. They don't respect you. They don't hear you. They don't follow you. But you put them in power. You elevated them, O king. You did this. And they won't bow. But listen, they wouldn't bow, and they weren't about to bend. They would not bend. Even though Nebuchadnezzar was furious, then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. He was outraged because they were pushing a button. They were like, look what you did. You lifted them up, and this is how they're repaying you. They were pushing all the right buttons. They were like, they don't respect you. They don't follow you. You're supposed to be the king, but they do what they want. And the king was falling. But I really believe that the king had a soft spot for these guys. I believe that even though he was outraged, I think he was outraged for two reasons. One, because of the fact that he was being manipulated. That's my belief as I read the text. I don't think he really wanted to put them in the fire. I think there was some manipulation going on, and he knew it. I mean, he was king. He was smart enough, wise enough to see what was going on. So I think there was some anger about what was happening, but also there was some rage and some anger about the reality. Look, I'm the king, and what I say goes, and you're not following. You're not hearing me. So he calls them in, and this is what he says. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach? It's almost like he's saying, look, tell me this isn't so. Come on, guys. Look, man, I elevated you. I like you. Tell me this isn't the way it really is. Come on, man. A little compromise here. Be rational. Just bend down and touch your toes. You don't got to bow. When the sound of the music comes on, just touch your toes like you're stretching. You know, we'll give it a wink. We'll pass it on by. But they weren't going to bow. They weren't going to bend. And they sure weren't going to break. So he says, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I've set up? This is all in a question. So he's asking, is this really the truth? I mean, I like you. I thought you guys liked me. I thought we were on the same team here. I love this phrase. Now, if you are ready, like, all right, maybe you didn't understand the first time. Maybe I wasn't clear. So now, if you're ready, come on, man. Give me a hand here. You know, I gave a decree. I need some help. Just stretch a little bit, you know, like you're stretching your... No. So now, if you're ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, and the bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made well and good. It'll be good. It's all good. All you got to do is fall down and worship. All you got to do is stretch. It'll be well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. And I love how bold he is, because this is crazy. And who is the God? Who's greater than me? And I'm the king of the world. Who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? It's like, don't you know who I am? I'm the man. Look at me. I have the power of life and death right here, right now. You better be rational. You better think about this. You better make the right decision. Just give me a little compromise here. Help me out. But this is how they respond. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. What do you mean? I'm the king. You ain't nobody. You're not our God. You're not our king. We have no need to answer you. We don't got nothing to prove. Man, they are confident and they are bold. These are young men who have watched people be torn from limb, from limb. I mean, this is Babylon. This is Nebuchadnezzar, notorious for having people ripped limb from limb. We don't have to answer you. We have nothing to prove, and listen to me, nothing to lose. You say, wait a minute, you're going to lose your job. You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose your family. You might lose your life. Listen, when we face the circumstances and pressures of this world, we have nothing to prove. When somebody accuses you, when somebody beats you up, you don't have to retaliate. You got nothing to prove and nothing to lose, because your life is not in others' hands. It's in his hands. All you got to do is trust him. All you got to do is believe in him. All you got to do is walk with him. He says, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, like if this is what you're going to do, let it be done. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able. And don't you want that kind of faith? Don't you want that kind of faith? Our God, whom we serve, is able. He's able to deliver us. He's able to save us. He's able to rescue us from your hands. He's able to do whatever he wants to do. And we're his. We're his. Whatever he wants, we're in his hands. Man, they're confident. They have assurance. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Hear me. He will deliver us one way or another. We won't bow, we're not going to bend, and we won't break. Because our faith is on the rock. And it doesn't matter what you say, it doesn't matter what you do. He will deliver us. He will deliver us out of the fiery furnace, or he will deliver us out of your hands, because you're not in charge. You're not in control. He is. Man, don't you got to get that in your own life? When you go to work, when you're dealing with people around you, to realize the reality is they're not in charge. You're not in charge. He's in charge. That our job is just to believe and trust and rest in him. Man, I love this. They are so bold because they know that one way or another, they'll be delivered. Either they're going to walk out of that fire or they're going to die in that fire. And either way, they're delivered. Don't you know that death is sweet to the believer? That it's deliverance? Paul said to live is Christ, Philippians 1:21, but to die is gain. Either way, he's going to rescue us out of your hands. You will have no more power, no more control like you had any anyway. His control and his power was an illusion. He had no power over them, no control over them. Just like nobody has power or control over you. Listen to me, and you got to hear me. The devil doesn't have power over you at all. The only power he has is what you give him. When you submit to your addiction, or to your habit, or to your issue, or to your frustration, or to your worry, or your anxiety, that is you giving the devil power. You don't have to give him power. God has set you free. You are free. There's no reason to be bound up by anything. Nobody can have power over you unless you give it to them. Because you have nothing to prove to no one. You have nothing to lose. You know, when I was younger, I used to worry people talking about me. You know, when I first got in the ministry as a pastor, I wanted to please everybody. But you know how hard it is to try to please everybody? Oh, you got to make this person happy. And you got to make that person happy. I thought that was love. That I thought if I was going to be a Christian, I had to be loving. So that meant but I was confused. Loving people doesn't mean pleasing them. But I was confused, and I was young, and we'll at least write it off to that. And so I ran around trying to make, and then one day I realized I'm an idiot. I'm a flat out idiot. I'm trying to do what Jesus couldn't do. Jesus couldn't make everybody happy. They killed him. Why do I think I can make everybody happy? Why do I think I can please everybody? So I finally realized, you know what? I ain't got nothing to prove. And it changed my life. Because I don't worry about what other people think. I'm not worried about what anybody says. Because I know that the only one I need to live to, the only one I need to answer to is him. It doesn't mean that I shrug accountability, because I know that accountability is important for answering to him. That he's established accountability in my life. So that I do the right things, so that I say the right things, so I live the right way. But I have nothing to prove. If I fail, I admit I fail. Because I'm not living for anyone but an audience of one. I don't have to live for anybody else but him. And when you come to that understanding, that realization, it takes a weight off you. It frees you. Where you don't have to try to please everybody. You don't got to make everybody happy. You just got to love him. So they respond to the king and they say, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. We know he's able. We know he's able. But the question is, will he? But they didn't know, because they're not reading the book. 2,600 years later. They were in the story. They were in it. And they said, hey, we know our God is able. And we believe that one way or another, he will deliver us from your hands. But, and this is if they don't get out of the fire. But if not, if he doesn't bring us through the fire, and we die in the fire, because one way or the other, we're delivered from you. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have. We won't do it. We won't bow, we won't bend, and we won't break, because it's wrong. That's it. It's that simple. Why not? Because it's wrong. It's wrong. And how do they know it was wrong? Because they were Jews who was raised on the law. They were children of Israel. They understood that out of the Ten Commandments, The first commandment and greatest commandment was to have no other gods before me. That any other act of worship was idolatry. And they weren't going to bow because they didn't want to displease God, because they were living for one. They weren't living for everybody else. They were living for Him. And when you live for an audience of one, your heart and your focus are in the right place. Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Out of the house of slavery, you shall have no other gods before me. He freed us. We are free because of Him. Why do we want to run back into slavery? Why would we put ourselves back in a position to be bound by some addiction or some habit or something in our lives? He brought us out of the house of slavery. That's what they said. So why would they go back? And God said, have no other gods before me. Because it's wrong. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. They wouldn't bow because it was the wrong thing to do. And they wouldn't compromise because they were living for God. Listen to me. How many times do we compromise? How many times do we bow to the pressures of our culture? How many idols do we have in our own lives? And an idol is anything that you establish before God. It could be your spouse. It could be your children. It could be your job. It could be your retirement. Anything that you put before God is now your idol. And then you're in bondage to that. Listen to me. And I'm going to make this clear. If God takes my kids, they're His. If God takes my wife, they're His. If God takes my life, it's His. I don't want to serve anything but Him. I'm not going to serve an addiction. I don't want to serve a habit. I don't want to serve a struggle. I don't want to serve. Why would I want to be in slavery when He has set me free? Jesus said it is for freedom that you have been set free. Galatians 5:1. In chapter 8 of John, He said to the Jews, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you. I know the truth. And the truth has set me free. I don't have to be bound by anything. Satan has no power over me unless I give it to him. And I choose not to. And I hope you'll do the same thing. That you'll say no to temptation. That you'll say no to your addiction. Because he knows what pushes your buttons. He knows what draws you in. He knows what seduces you. You got to say no. I am free. And then you can't have any other idols. You can't love your kids more than you love God. You can't love your spouse more than you love God. You can't love your job more. And you can't care more about your job. You can't care more about your money. You can't care more about your material stuff. You got to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might. And when you do that, you'll learn to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what God calls us to. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were all about. They were about loving God. They would not bow. They would not bend, and they would not burn. They wouldn't burn because they wouldn't break. So Nebuchadnezzar is angry. I mean, this is where it all changes for him. I think the first conversation was like, you know, look, come on, guys. Compromise, work with me here. You know, let's work this out. But now, because of their response, because of the truth, it enraged him. Listen to me. When you tell people the truth, some people will get so angry with you. Some people will reject you, walk away from you, hate you. But we should always speak the truth in love. Always. Because the truth sets people free. Whether they accept it or not, it's not up to you. Your job, your responsibility is just to speak the truth in love. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury. And here's how I know it changed. And the expression on his face was changed. Like, it just like, what? Are you for real right now? Like, this ain't happening. He's like, are you serious? I mean, I can just imagine what he's going through. Paint the picture in your mind. He's the king. Nobody says no to the king. No one has ever said no to the king, or they were torn limb from limb. And I'm sure if they were given the opportunity to say yes, they would say, yes, please, sir. Because they didn't want to be torn. Who wants to be torn limb from limb? Who wants to be thrown into a fire? He was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated. This is how mad he was. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he ordered some of the mighty men. When it says mighty men in scripture, it means warriors. These are the toughest guys. These are the strongest guys. He ordered some of his mighty men, his warriors of his army, to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning, fiery furnace. He had lost all love for these guys. And for them, maybe it felt like the whole world was against them. But they knew who was on their side. If the whole world is against you, and you're standing with God, you're still a majority. Amen. You and God against the whole world is a majority. So they were standing strong. They were standing by faith. Listen to me. What you're seeing here is real faith being lived out. They weren't reading a story about them. They were in the story. How's your faith? Are you living it out? If people were writing about your life right now, if they were writing your daily activities, would they see an expression of faith? Or would they see an expression of fear? Would they see you walking around worried? I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. Oh, I don't know why they don't like me. I don't know why people are talking about me. I don't know why everybody's so upset. I don't know what I'm going to do if I lose my spouse. I mean, what am I going to do? Man, if I go through this and they walk out of my life, how can I keep them? How can I fix them? How can I straighten it out? Are you walking in fear or are you walking in faith? Is your life a living testimony of the grace of God showing the world that He's alive? Because that's what they were. These men were walking in faith. And it was real. Then these men were bound. In their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments. Look, they put everything they could on them. They're like, don't just throw them in the fire. I want them to burn fast. I want them to burn long. Put on their shirt, their cloak, their jacket, their hats. Let's get them all dressed up. So they'll burn for a long time. I mean, this is cruelty. So these men were bound. That's the second thing I want you to notice. Not only were they put all this clothes on, but they were bound, which is a picture of slavery. Anytime we're bound to something, we are slaves to it. These men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was so urgent, he was so angry. And the furnace overheated. The flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The men that took them to the fire to put them in caught on fire and burnt to death. They died. Because that's how hot the fire was. The fire killed the men, ushering them into their pit. They got all this clothes on. And so these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell. Here's that word again. It's emphasized. Bound into the burning, fiery furnace. There's an emphasis on the reality that they were bound. Which for us is a mark and a picture of slavery. When you are bound to something, you are entrenched. It's ingrained. You're a captive. But Jesus came to set the captives free. Before we come to know Christ, any of us, we are slaves to sin. All we know how to do is sin. We don't know how to be righteous. And you have to remember that when you're relating to people who don't know Christ. Because that's the only life they know. The only capacity they have is a capacity for sin. They don't have a new nature. Our new nature, our divine nature, the nature that God has placed in us, because the Holy Spirit lives in us, gives us a new nature, a new capacity for righteousness and holiness. But before Christ, we have no ability to live a righteous life. That's why we need Christ. And so this picture is very important for us, that we understand that God wants to set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And then if you read down in Galatians verse 14, it says, do not let yourself be yoked again to slavery. God has set you free. Why are you running back into slavery? Why are you doing what you know will kill you? Then the king was astonished and rose up in haste. Look, he wanted to see all this. He was so angry, he had a viewing window. Kind of like when you go watch the dolphins and you walk under the tunnel and you got all the fish swimming around. It's a viewing. It's for you to watch, but you don't have to get close to the sharks. You know, you can stay away from the sharks, but you can see them all through the glass. It's the same thing. He's got this viewing window and he's watching this whole thing. And he's kind of just sitting there and all of a sudden he jumps up. He's like, whoa, wait a minute. What's going on? The king was astonished and rose up in haste. That means he did it very quickly because he was shocked. He declared to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the fire? Like, am I going crazy? I thought we only threw three guys in there. Is there somebody I don't know about? And he's asking a legitimate question. Did we not throw three men into the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, but I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like the son of the gods. They fell into the flames bound, but they wouldn't burn because they wouldn't bend. They wouldn't compromise, and because they were righteous and they loved God and they were walking by faith, God chose to redeem them. God chose to rescue them. And so Jesus shows up in the fire. This is a pre-incarnate Christ. Jesus in the Old Testament is walking in the fire. And the only thing the fire did was burn what bound them. God used the fire that Nebuchadnezzar wanted to use to kill them to set them free. Isn't that awesome? God takes what was meant for evil and he turns it into good. God is good. Man, you see this and you're just like, whoa, it's mind blowing. Because these guys are not reading about it. Remember, they are in the experience. Try to put yourself there. Try to smell the smoke. Try to see the flames. The king's like, whoa, I see four. They're unbound. The only thing they got burned up were the ropes. And they're walking around high-fiving each other. Yeah. The king ain't got nothing on us. They're hanging out. They're probably rapping in the corner about a new rhyme. I don't know. But I know that God is awesome. And he set them free. And I want that freedom every day of my life. I want to be free. I don't want to be bound by what people think. I don't want to be bound by a habit or an old hurt from the past or an issue or conflict. I don't want to be bound by anything. I want to be free Because it's for freedom that Christ has set me free. And He wants us to be free. And this is a picture that God is using the fire to set us free. Just like 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. He says, though for now you might have to suffer all kinds of grief, so that our faith, which is more precious than gold, is being tested and tried by the fire. When we go through the fire of life, the trials, God is using those trials and those fires to purify us, to sanctify us, to set us free. He wants to set us free. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace, and he declared, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Boy, he changed his tune quick, didn't he? Servants of the Most High God. Woo! I was wrong. We better tear that statue down now. For God puts me in that fire. I mean, there's an awareness now. He's awoken. He's like, whoa, wait a minute. You guys are the real guys. This is the real deal. Servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach and Abednego came out of the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. How many men were in the fire? Four. How many men came out? Three. Only three came out. That's what it says. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Jesus is still in the fire, so that when you walk through the fires of life, you're not alone, because He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. He will never let you down. That's the whole picture here. He's still in the fire. So when you feel like life is crushing you, when it's burning you, Jesus is right there. That's why through the whole New Testament, when He was ready to leave, Matthew 28, the last thing He says is, I am with you always. Hebrews, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And then He sent His Holy Spirit to live within us so that we would have God in us, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what it is. And right here, Jesus is still in the fire for me and for you. So that we can remember that we'll never be left alone. So that we're not going through these hard times by ourselves. When you feel isolated and you feel like you're all by yourself and you feel like nobody understands, remember the fire. Remember that Jesus is still there. So when you feel alone, when you feel isolated, when you feel betrayed, know that Jesus is with you. And He will never leave you. And He will never forsake you. And His joy and His peace are yours, even in the midst of the fire. So when the fires of life squeeze you, let them change you. Let them set you free. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors get. Now everybody's coming to see this thing. The king's like, you got to see this. Now he gathered everybody for his image. Now he's bringing them together for something greater. Something more important. The counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. Why did it have? Doesn't fire burn? If I go outside right now and throw a match on that pile of branches we got up there, they will burn. And then if I throw one of you in it, you will burn. I can prove it. Right? We can go out after church, create a bonfire, throw somebody in it, and you burn. It just happens, right? So how can we look at this and say, how did they not burn? Because they were protected by the hand of God. Listen to me. If you don't hear anything else, you will never go through anything that God doesn't allow you to go through. And if He allows you to go through it, you can know that it's for His purpose. That He has an intent and a good in mind. That even though you can't understand it, even though you can't see it, that He's at work. because all things work together for the good of those who love Him and who've been called according to Him. So no matter what you're experiencing, you can believe, you can know, you can rest in the reality that God's at work and He has my good in mind, that this is for the betterment of the kingdom. It's for the good of His plan. Their hair of their heads was not singed. Their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. The fire had no effect on their lives, but one, to free them. See, the only effect of the fire was to free them. There was no evidence that they had ever been in the fire when it was all said and done. And that's exactly what God does through our lives. Some of the hardest fires of my life, the most painful experiences, God used to unbound me. God used to mature me. God used to change me. And if you were to look at my life now, there's no evidence of that fire. There was real fire. There was real pain. There was real tragedy. But you can't see it in my life now, because His grace is sufficient. Do you hear me? His grace is sufficient. God is enough for all your needs, for all your struggles, for all your pain. He is enough and He is able. Our God is able to deliver us. He's able to deliver you. Do you believe that this morning? That God is able. Say that with me. God is able. Say it like you mean it. God is able. You got to believe that in your heart, that God is able to deliver you from whatever you face, whatever you experience, whatever you go through. And there'll be no evidence that you were ever in the fire when it's all said and done. Just like there was no evidence here. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach." Who gets the praise when it's all said and done? When you surrender to Him and He's at work in your life, He gets all the glory. God gets the praise. And that's what it's all about. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light shine before men that they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father, which are in heaven." God gets all the glory. "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent His angel to deliver His servants who trusted in Him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies. They were willing to die rather than serve and worship any god except their own. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your path. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice." Romans 12:1. "I urge you therefore, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to give your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Surrender it. God, here am I. Here's my hands. Here's my mouth. I just want to trust You. I want to lean on You. I want to follow You." And when you do that, God gets all the glory. "Therefore, I make a decree." Guess what? Time for a new decree. "Let it be written. Let it be done. Therefore, because of all that has just happened, I make a new decree. Any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses laid in ruins. For there is no other God who is able," catch that, "who is able to rescue in this way." God is able. He is able to handle whatever you experience. And your job is to trust Him. The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the they not only got out of the fire, but they got blessed. They got exalted. They got lifted up again because they wouldn't bow, because they wouldn't break, because they for sure didn't burn. They were blessed. They were blessed because they believed. They walked by faith. And that's my prayer for you and my prayer for me, is that we'll learn to walk by faith. I don't know what you're struggling with, and I don't know what you need to trust God for. But what I want you to do right now is just to open up your heart and say, God, help me to trust you. Whatever area that you want me to trust you in, God, teach me to trust you so that I'm not bound by anything in this world. I just want to be a slave to you.
Thank you for listening. For more information, visit us at nwcc777.com.